All right, so today I got something special to share with you. Is that cool? You guys are like, I don't know, maybe. You guys aren't. So anyways, it's something special, it's something new. It's actually not new because I shared it with the first service. But when Robert and Troy asked me to teach, you know, the first things I'm thinking of is like, okay, well, what message was really good that I shared with the college group, right? What was a message that everyone responded to? One that I felt comfortable with, that I had fun giving, you know. So then I'm thinking, okay, well, there's this message, there's that one too. But then I was thinking, it's like, no, I think God wants to do a new work. So there's a new series that I've been preparing for the college group. It's a study through Jonah. It's called The Dichotomy of Truth, and that's actually today's message title, Dichotomy of Truth. And I want to share that with you guys. You guys get a little sneak peek, a little preview, if you will, at the series that's going to come this summer. It's something I've been kind of preparing for. God's been speaking to me through my studies in Jonah. That's where we're going to be, is Jonah chapter 1, if you want to get a head start and open your Bibles there. But yeah, so it's a new series. So you get a little peek there. You'll be the second of groups to see this. Dichotomy of truth. The word dichotomy basically means like two things that are opposing, like two different things. There's a contrast between them, that contrast between them. And today we're going to see in Jonah, there's basically a dichotomy going on. There's Jonah. Many of you know this story. You're familiar with this, right? There's Jonah. He knows the truth. He got the word of God. It was very clear. There was no doubt about what he was to do. And then there's Nineveh. Nineveh was this evil, wicked city. They never heard the word of God before. But we know at the end of the book, they come to repentance and they come to believe in God. So there's this dichotomy going on, all right? There's Jonah who knows the truth but doesn't want to tell the truth. And then there's Nineveh who doesn't know the truth, but if someone would just tell them, they would believe. So we see this dichotomy, this interesting thing going on. And what I want to share with you too before we get started is another sneak peek. We got a video that we do. I like to kind of ramp things up, get some excitement stirring for the college group and stuff. And I will warn you ahead of time, it's a rap video, like music-wise. I know some of you aren't fans of rap, but what I will say is, you know, rap is a style of music. And God uses rappers and he uses rap to his glory. So I know some of you guys are like thinking, I don't want to hear this. But, you know, the whole goal and intention with this series that I'm doing through Jonah is to reach the lost. It's like we want to basically draw in people from the world who wouldn't otherwise come into the church. So when they see this rap video, hopefully they're like, hey, that's kind of cool. You know, they got some rap. Maybe I do want to hear what they got to say. And hopefully they find life in Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose behind it. So we're going to show you this video. You'll notice the contrast. Jonah is going to be the first perspective. He's a little bitter and whatnot. It's my buddy Seth Stone. He's a rapper here, Sean Stone's little brother, one of my best friends. And then the second perspective, it's going to change. And it's basically Nineveh saying, if someone would just tell me the truth, you know. So check it out.
Shout out to the one above me, yeah. We beef, but you still love me, ayy. Seen a lot of that, but thinking you crossing a line with this child, stop that. And you know I do whatever you ask, whatever you want. I got in front of me, no one said it to you last. But you see the magnitude of wickedness, these people sinning. You still ain't look me in the eye and ask me my opinion. So I'll just sit back, like the sound of thunder looking at this bloodbath. Drop that like an avalanche, cause I'd rather see the tension, the redemption of a bad man, yeah. I still don't think they even care, even if it's true. They're on the brink of despair, so I'm going out on my own way. Yeah, I'm going out on my own way. I'm looking through the mirror from where they say the grass is greener the other side. But it's a lie. I wanna know right, but do they show me? And if you speak like the one and only, then I'll follow you. Dichotomy of truth. I will follow you. Dichotomy of truth.
Woo! Yeah. So there's a little sneak peek. You guys got to see it. I'm not going to play it again for like a few weeks for the college group. So again, this is a sneak peek. You guys are getting something special today. You know, again, I said it last service, but you're the second. So that's pretty good, right? You know, you're the first person. No, I don't know. You're the first loser is really what second place is. But not to bring it down or anything, but anyways, so that's the study we're going to kind of go through. We're going to do like a quick overview through this. We're not going to go through it all verse by verse, but hopefully we'll get the whole picture. So open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1, and let's pray. Father God, again, we thank you that we can come here to hear your word. We pray that you will speak to us loud and clear. God, that you will move today. We came so that we may experience you, and I pray that that's what we do today, Lord. Wherever we're at in life, Lord, that we will humble ourselves, that we will open our minds, our hearts to hear from you, God, and that you speak loud and clear, and that you change lives, that you encourage us to go out into the world and shine for you, God, and I'm excited for what you're going to do in this service, and just use me as you see fit, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." So right off the bat here, I just want to note, it's like, so the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And just as the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the word of the Lord has come to us today. It might not be this audible voice from God from heaven. It might not be a vision, because oftentimes prophets of God, they would have these visions or dreams. But we have a tangible copy of God's word, many of us in our laps. I hope you have your own Bible, by the way. If you don't, you need to get one. Stop by the New Believers table, rate them. They'll hate me afterwards. But hey, those Bibles are there for you guys so that you guys can have one to take home and you can learn the word of God. So the word of God has come today, and he's going to speak. But I would encourage you guys, many of you, you're probably checking out, Jonah and the whale. I know that story. Heard it since preschool, you know, kindergarten, elementary school. Learned it in Sunday school class. So you're tuning out, because when we hear things that are familiar, we often just say, I know it all. I know it all. And what I would say today is, as the word of the Lord is coming to us today to speak to us, would you just humble your minds? Humble yourself. Maybe you don't know it all. Maybe God wants to speak something new to you today. Maybe he wants to reveal something that you didn't know was going on in your life. So let's just listen up. Let's listen to what he has to say. And let's look at what Jonah experiences here. So Jonah, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And Jonah, a little background information, he was a prophet, the prophet of Israel. He was a gifted guy. He had a gift. He had a calling from God. And as a prophet, many of you probably know, their job, their title basically is to take God's word, whatever God spoke to them, whatever God revealed to them through maybe a dream, maybe a vision, maybe audibly, and take it to the people that he told them to tell it to. And they would say that, right? And then, and it's a pretty cool gift. Many of us would say, hey, I'd like that. You know, Lord, speak to me. Tell me what to do exactly. And I think he does still speak to us today. And again, he's going to speak and move today. But earlier on in Jonah's life, the only other mention of him in the Old Testament, Jesus references him later on, the New Testament, but the only other reference is a reference to Jonah prophesying to the king of Israel, King Jeroboam. And when he prophesied to him, we don't know the exact words, but the idea we get is that Jonah was prophesying expansion. Like, God's going to expand your ministry. He's going to expand Israel. He's going to bring growth. He's going to prosper you. It's going to be good. And it happened. And it happened. But what I note, though, it's easy to follow God and do what he says when the message is good, right? Amen? Like, I mean, some of you guys bear with me here. But when God says something easy, hey, go do this, and I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to bring some good things your way. Hey, that's easy. I like that. But what about when the message isn't so good? What about when the message is something difficult, something scary? And that's what we see here. God calling Jonah to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was a wicked city. It was a city of about 120,000 plus people. It's pretty big. I mean, it's not as big as Tucson, but back in the Old Testament days, that's a huge city. That's a huge place. And we see that in Jonah 4:11, the 120,000 people, if you're wondering where I got that number. But they're evil. They're wicked. They're Gentiles. They're a pagan country. They don't believe in God. And apparently, as we'll see in the text, they haven't heard of God, and they're worshiping idols. The Bible talks about them. It says that it is a bloody city full of lies and robbery. Multitudes are slain, and a great number of corpses just litter the land. That's the idea. That's the picture we get from the Bible. Like, if you think about that, that is not a nice scene, is it? And that's what Jonah's called to do. It's a dangerous calling. Go over here. You might die. These people hate you. They hate Israel. They don't like them. They're the enemies. And this calling, it really doesn't makes sense at first glance. It doesn't make sense because Jonah was called to this situation that didn't really fit his life. I'm the prophet of Israel, not the prophet of Nineveh. Like, God, what are you doing here, right? But what I see in the text is God wanted to do something new with Jonah. And I think God wants to do something new with some of you today. And he wants to do something that you haven't seen before, that you don't understand. It doesn't make any sense right now. And that's what Jonah's facing right here. This doesn't make sense. Go to Nineveh. Why? And be killed? Are you crazy, Lord? And then verse 3, check it out. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. Jonah ran away. The Lord spoke very clearly. There's no mistaking what the Lord told him to do, right? Arise, go to Nineveh. There's no like, well, Lord, I didn't hear you. It didn't make much sense. I didn't hear you clearly. Could you send a sign if that's really what you wanted me to do? No, there was no mistaking it. So why would he flee? This prophet of God, this man of God. Well, I would submit to you guys that he's selfish. He's stubborn. And he's probably a little prideful. Again, he's thinking, I'm the prophet of Israel. I'm too good to go to Nineveh, to these losers who they don't know God and they're just blasphemous people. You know, he's probably thinking that a little bit. He's selfish. He doesn't want to get killed. He doesn't want to risk his life for what God's calling him to do. And I think he's just a little stubborn. He's stubborn. And what I want to say, too, is that I think many of us can relate to this, right? We can relate to Jonah. Like, it's easy when the message is easy. When it's good, yeah, Lord, I'll follow you when things are good, when things are prospering and growing. But all of a sudden, the Lord says, hey, but go to this person and show them some love. Hey, go do this or the other thing. And we're like, no, that's a little hard. That's a little bit hard. So we get stubborn. Nah, I'm not going to do that. And we actually, instead of moving towards God, following God, we run away. We hold back. We know what we should do, but we don't do it. And some even run away from God. I think back, I mean, many years ago, I used to come to this campus, but I would avoid church. I would avoid church because I knew if I came to church, God was going to speak and I was going to be convicted. Because I grew up my whole life knowing that God is real, that Jesus is God, that he died for my sins on the cross. I knew all of that. My parents taught me it. I believed it without a doubt. But after senior year of high school, I started walking away. I was doing my own thing. You know, I got into the party scene. I was doing drugs and alcohol and all that stuff. But I would avoid church because I stopped going to church. It's like, I'm doing my own thing. I want to have fun. But I would come every once in a while. And I'll tell you guys a little bit in a minute, a little more. But I didn't have a driver's license. So my mom would, hey, do you want to go to church? Okay, sure, I'll go to church. You know, I'd come to the 11:30 service, this one, at the West Campus. And I would sit right back there. There's the empty seats by that agape box because I didn't want to get noticed. I didn't want anyone to shake my hand or say anything to me because I just wanted to come in and slip out, right? It's like, and I just was avoiding God's call, though. It's like I was holding back. I know you're calling me, Lord, to let go of these things in my life, but I don't want to do it. So I'd really run away from it, and I would avoid that conviction. I would avoid that conviction. But also notice there in that verse, though, when Jonah ran away to do his own thing, he paid the fare. He paid. Because when you run from God, when you do your own thing, the world says, hey, do you. Do you. Just be you. Be yourself. Well, yourself, you're sinful. We are sinful. We have sinful tendencies built within us, and it just comes out. We don't have to do anything to have that sin. It's just in us. So when the world says, just do you, it's like, well, if I just do me, then that's really bad. You know, it's like I might be doing drugs and alcohol, all these other things. But then what I notice, though, is when we go our own way, we pay. When you go your own way, you pay. God doesn't like provide all this stuff. It's like you're using your resources, your money, your time, your effort, your gifts to run away from God. And in turn, you're just digging a hole. You're digging a hole. And I did this for years again. I avoided God, but I was wasting my money on drugs and alcohol. I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic, like, to the T. It's like even when none of my friends were going out to drink, I would go up to the store, buy 3 tall cans, and just sit in my carport and get drunk by myself. I'm drunk and high. It was sad. It was depressing, really, was what it was. But I did this. I was just wasting my resources to go my own way. And in return, I just was in debt. I owed my parents thousands of dollars. I owed the bank, you know, credit card money. I had a car payment that I couldn't pay because I'm borrowing from my mom and dad because I was literally spending, hopefully this is okay that I get a little real with you guys. Is that all right? I was spending like $300-$400 a week on just like drugs and alcohol. And I know some of you guys are more hardcore drug addicts and you're like, I was spending $300-$400 a day and you want to one up me, Steve, in the sound booth. But $300-$400 a week for me, that's like, you know, 80% of what I was making probably at that time. So I'm using all my money for these things and I couldn't afford anything. I was just pouring my resources to run away from God, to avoid his calling on my life. I knew what God was calling me to do, to let go of this, stop getting drunk and high and doing all these reckless things. But I ran away from the Lord. I was like Jonah. And then I paid the fare. And we see that Jonah is paying the fare himself. He's using his resources to get away. But check out verse 4. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." So Jonah runs away. He's avoiding God. He's avoiding God's call on his life. I don't want this conviction. I don't want to do what you want me to do, Lord. So he runs. He pays his way to get away. And the Lord sent a storm. Because sometimes the Lord has to send a storm into our lives to get our attention, right? Some of you have probably experienced this. I definitely did. But Jonah tries to run away. He tries to kind of fit in with everyone else. This is a picture we get, or at least I get, when I'm reading through Jonah. He's a prophet of God. When he gets on that ship, you would think he's evangelizing to everyone. Hey, man, God loves you, and he wants you to have true abundant life in Christ. You'd think, like, Jonah would be saying stuff like that. But it doesn't say anything. He went down to the bottom of the ship, went to sleep. You know, he's just trying to sneak in, not be noticed, just fit in with the rest and whatnot. But then what we see is God came after him. God came after him, and he sent a storm. He came after him to get his attention with something bad. And that's not to say that God is a bad God, is it? When I study through the Bible, I see two purposes of why storms come into our lives, each and every one of us. All right, there's the first one, and I believe God sends storms, trials our way to test us, to test our faith, to strengthen us, to see if we're the real deal or not, to see if we push through it and we keep going, we persevere, right? We see in John chapter 11, there's Lazarus. You guys know this story? Yes? No? A couple of you? All right. Well, go check it out later, you know, and just to make sure I'm not lying. John chapter 11, Lazarus, he's a good buddy of Jesus, and he has died. The sisters of Lazarus came to Jesus, said, "Lord, our brother's sick. You need to come and heal him." And Jesus said, okay, you know. Well, first he said, this sickness doesn't lead to death. And then he stayed where he was 2 days longer. And next thing you know, Lazarus died. It's like, what, Lord? Why would you let this happen? Why would a good, faithful, loving God let someone he loves die? Well, it's a storm in life. He came to bring it so that he could do something powerful through it. He wanted to open the eyes of the blind, to show them that he had the power over life and death. Because next thing you know, it's like he rose them up, or rose Lazarus up from the grave. He gave him life again. It was a miracle. And it was a storm, though. In the midst of the storm, you know, Mary and Martha probably didn't like it. It's a little hard. It's like, Lord, why would you let this happen? I thought you were this good God. But then at the end, it's like Jesus is like, I did this so that you may believe and that you may see the glory of God. There's purpose in it, to glorify God, to test you, to make you stronger. And then there's a second reason. It's to get your attention, just like Jonah. He sends this storm into life, into your life. It's because he's trying to wake you up. He's trying to wake you up. After years of me avoiding God, avoiding God's call for my life, I came like every once in a while, sat in that back row. And finally, I knew the Word of God, and I knew what I needed to do, but I avoided it for forever. And then so one day, again, I'm going to get real with you guys and share some of my testimony. One day, me and some friends, we think it's a good idea. We're going to go up to Phoenix. We're gonna go down the Salt River, right? You guys heard of that? So we're like, hey, we're gonna go up to Phoenix. We're gonna pop some pills. We're gonna smoke some weed, and we're gonna drink. We're gonna get drunk. I'm sorry, I'm getting real with you guys, but this is the truth. This is my story, and I'm sticking to it. It's real, though. So we go and do that. You know, hey, we're going to have a good time. And we did have a good time floating down the river, whatnot, doing what I want, avoiding God's call in my life. You know, I didn't really care about what God had for me. And then on the way home, I'm driving. The unexpected happens. DUI checkpoint. Oh. So, you know, I'm like, hey, guys, you know, act sober, straighten up, you know, roll down the window. Hello, officer, how's it going? And then, you know, trying to pretend like I'm good. But then the police report, now that I read it, it says, you know, my eyes are bloodshot and the car smelled of marijuana, all these things, which I'm sure it did. And it was, so next thing you know, can you step out of your car, do some tests? I get out of the car, I'm doing some tests, you know, all these things, thinking I'm killing it. Yeah, I'm not going to jail today. Next thing you know, they read me like, whatever it is, you have the right to remain silent. All these things, I'm like, man, I'm going to jail, what? And they handcuffed me, threw me in back of a van, impounded my car. My four friends were left in Phoenix, had to call someone from Tucson to go up there to get them, bring them back, because this storm came in my life, unexpectedly, you know? And it's like, Lord, and at first I was bitter, like, Lord, why me? Why do I get caught out of everyone? Everyone's getting high and drunk. Seriously, though. That's what I was thinking. But you know what it is? Because the Lord had a call on my life. Because the Lord loves me so much, he didn't want me to go on in that. And sometimes he has to bring a little bit of pain in our lives to wake us up. There's purpose in pain, guys. There's purpose in pain. God has a plan. And I think some of you, you probably wonder at times, like, why am I the one who gets caught at work? Everyone's goofing off. Everyone's doing this. Everyone at school is doing this, that, and the other thing. And then I do it once and I get caught and then I get fired from my job. Or whatever it may be. But the point is God wants to get your attention. He loves you. He's trying to speak something to you. He's trying to wake you up. But what I didn't notice through all this, and now I do, but I did not notice how my actions affected others. It impacted other people's lives. And what I've noticed is the disobedience of one person, it impacts and affects the lives of many. Like I have my family, you know, it's like they're sad, broken over it. My little sister's looking at her older brother just getting crazy, drunk and high, like ruining his life. My friends, they're following me. I knew God called me to be a leader early on. And God's like, wherever you lead, people are going to go, basically. But back then, I'm getting drunk and high, throwing parties. Everyone's coming over and doing these things, and I'm leading them astray. And I can, and sadly, to this day, some of those people I led astray are still stuck in that sin, getting drunk and high, thinking that that's where true life is. It's so easy, guys, to lead people astray, to go down the broad paths like everyone's doing. Yeah, let's go this way. But then when you try to turn around, you're like, no, actually, guys, I was wrong. This is the way, the truth, and the life. No one wants to hear that. It's hard. And there's people who are still stuck in their sin to this day, honestly, because I influenced them to do it. The disobedience of one person will always impact others around you. So you need to be careful. Don't think that just because it's just you, oh, I'm only affecting myself. It's like your choices affect everyone around you. Your life is about more than just yourself, all right? It's like don't be so selfish and self-centered that you think you're the only one it'll affect. And what we see in this text is that Jonah, he's focused on himself. He doesn't care about the other people on the ship. He's blatantly running from God. He's heard his call, and he's running from God, gets on the ship. Next thing you know, God sends this storm, and now all the people got to suffer for it. This ship's going down. The disobedience of one person is impacting the lives of many people around him. So we got to be careful. Then to paraphrase, kind of, again, I said we're going to kind of skim through, but to paraphrase the rest of the chapter one, they cast lots. They're like, okay, well, let's figure out whose fault this is. Cast lots. It falls on Jonah. And so they ask Jonah, hey, man, what's going on? What's the situation? Something bad's happening, and apparently it's because of you. And Jonah's like, well, I'm a prophet of God, and I'm running from God. It's like, this is a big problem, you know? So then they're like, well, what are we going to do? And then Jonah's solution, because he knew it was his fault, his solution is, just throw me overboard. Just it's laughable, but seriously, though, you think about it, it's like, he's like, well, I don't want to do what God says, and I can't do what I want, so just kill me. Just kill me. And what I see is Jonah, he'd given up. He'd given up, but if you look at verse 17 of chapter 1, it says, and then the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So what I see there, you guys are like, well, so what? A big fish came, swallowed him up. Well, Jonah gave up on himself. Just throw me overboard, guys. I don't even want to live anymore. If I can't do what I want to do, I don't want to live, because I definitely don't want to do what God wants me to do. But God hadn't given up on Jonah. God had more in store, and he sent this, yeah, it's kind of strange, a fish swallowing him up in the middle of, like, the sea and whatnot. It's like, that's weird. That's kind of extreme. But sometimes God has to use extreme things to get to us. Like, if I was to relate it to me, it's like my fish was jail. It's like I had to do some jail time, you know, and it's like it wasn't fun. But what it did is it slowed me down. It got me out of the world to where it's like, okay, what am I doing with my life? Where God just was like, Nick, you're making a mess of your life. He's like, and what I felt like the Lord said to me was like, you can go your own way. You can do that. You have the freedom to do whatever you want to do. But if you keep going this way, Nick, you're going to get destruction. That's all you're going to get. You got a DUI. I lost my license for a year. It was revoked. And if you guys, it wasn't just like a suspended, a little slap on the wrist kind of thing. It's like I was 21, 22 years old, and I couldn't drive myself anywhere. I had to call my mom up. Hey, can you give me a ride to work? My grandpa. Hey, can you give me a ride to work? Can you drive me to the mall so I can chill with my friends? Like, I felt like a 14-year-old teenage boy. Like, and it was embarrassing. But that's what had to happen. And then when I'm in jail, it's like God's, it's like, you can keep going down this road, but this is all you're ever going to get. Destruction, heartache. You're just going to come up empty-handed every time. I know, like, the devil, he's going to promise us pleasure and whatnot, but really it's empty. And then the Lord's kind of like, or you can follow me, which is very uncertain, though, as many of you know. Okay, follow the Lord. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to wait around for a little bit, you know. It's like, like, sometimes you got to wait. It's like it's painful. And sometimes you got to do these hard things, like, that you don't want to do. And, but that's what I started to do, and I had this time to think. But chapter 2, we see Jonah. He comes to the realization that he has gone astray. And he's in the belly of the fish there. And it says in verse 7 of chapter 2 that Jonah remembers the Lord. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. And sadly, sometimes it takes everything being stripped from our lives for us to realize that God is the only one who's ever been there for us the entire time. Amen? Amen? Yeah. And it's like, and that's what it took for Jonah to realize that. So it's like, if God has to go to these extreme measures and bring these storms into our lives to wake us up, to get us to realize what he's trying to do, then that's what he's got to do. And verse 10 of chapter 2, and the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. So now that Jonah's had some time to think things over, okay, what have I done? I've gone astray. I've messed up. I'm running from the Lord. Like, Lord, you are good. I remember that your goodness. The last verse 9, the end of it says, salvation belongs to the Lord. It's like Jonah's remembering the truth. And now that he's kind of ready to go on to follow God, God tells the fish to spit him up. Verse 1 of chapter 3, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. I love that verse. I love that verse, and I get, it makes me emotional, really, because it's like, even though Jonah ran away, he totally disregarded God's word, did his own thing, made a wreck of his life, almost killed other people for his sake. It's like, then he realizes the truth. He repents. And then God speaks to him again. And it's that easy. It's really that easy, guys. It's like we make a mess of our lives. I made a mess of my life. I never thought I would ever be up in this pulpit preaching to this church. I never thought I'd be in any church preaching to anybody, really. Like with my life, with my background. Because what I thought was, I had to do some Christian counseling for a while. You know, I was a drug addict. I was alcoholic. My mom kind of talked me into it. I said, okay, fine, I'll go. But I'm just doing this for you. I don't care about this. You know, I thought I was just going to go one time and then never do it again. I'm talking to this counselor, you know, he's like, so tell me what's going on in your life. I just break down in tears telling this dude, man, my life is a mess. My life's a mess. I've made some terrible choices. I got a DUI arrested. I can't afford to pay these fines. I can't afford to pay anything. I owe my parents all kinds of money. And on top of that, my best friend, it's like he's in prison because of me. That's a story I'll tell you at a different time maybe, but that's really what happened. Like my influence caused one of my best friends to be in prison. So what I told this guy one day is just like, it's like, I know God can forgive me. Again, I've learned that my whole life. It's like I was taught that as a little kid. I believe it with all my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sins upon the cross. I know he can forgive me for sins from yesterday, today, for the rest of my life. But what I didn't think God could do is use me again. I was like, I had potential. I could have done anything, you know? It's like when you are a kid, it's like you really can do anything. And you just pour into it. God's given you gifts. And then I'm thinking, man, I used all of my stuff, my giftings, my money, my life to run away from God. I feel like I've wasted my life. God's not going to use me again. But this verse just brings so much comfort. We repent. We believe. And then the word of the Lord comes again. The word of the Lord spoke to Jonah again in verse 2. Check out what he says. He says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." And what's interesting to note that God speaks to him to go out and do, it's the same word that he said to Jonah to do in the beginning. It's the same word. It wasn't like, okay, Jonah, you're in timeout now, so I'm going to give you some littler tasks to do until you get back up to where you want to be. God's like, no, we're going to pick up right where we left off. And some of you need to understand that, and some of you need that today. It's like God wants to just pick up where you left off. You guys ran away from him. Come back to him today. Confess your sins. I messed up. Remember that the Lord is good. Just come back, and he wants to pick up right where we left off, right where he left you. He's going to speak the same word. But then some people, though, they want a new task. You come back to the Lord, well, you know, Nineveh, it's kind of hard. I don't really like that. You know, Lord, can I have something different? You know, can I do something different or something bigger? That's not what I want to do. But oftentimes, God will not speak to us again. He won't move you to do something. He's not going to lead you until you do what he's previously told you to do. That's why the Lord comes back to Jonah, hey, go to Nineveh. All right, you ready to work? All right, well, it's the same word. So it's like if you're feeling in your life like the Lord's not leading me anymore, like I don't know what's going on, something's wrong. It's like, well, go back to the last thing he told you to do and do it. Maybe you're not hearing from the Lord because you're rebelling against him. You don't want to do what he told you to do. You know, simple things. It could be like just forgiving someone. The Lord put it on your heart to go forgive them. You're holding a grudge. And that's holding back what God wants to do. He wants to do so much more. Right? It's like some of you, you need to say you're sorry to someone. That's what God's calling you to do, simple little things. Some of you, it might be things like me, like stop getting high, stop getting drunk, stop doing those things. And it's like once you stop doing that, the Lord's going to be like, okay, now that you're obeying me, now we can work. Now we can do something. Now that we got that out of the way, here's your next task. Let's move on. But if we aren't willing to do the things he's called us to do, whether they're small, little things, like just stop drinking. You know, if we're not willing to do those things, how do you ever expect God to do something big in your life? How do you ever expect him to move you on to bigger and better things if you won't even do the little things? Right? He's waiting for you to move. He's waiting for Jonah to move here in verse 3 of chapter 3. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he called out, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God." And I love that. If you note in the text, it's like a capital G. It's not let them call out to a God, as we kind of saw with the mariners, like the ship dudes in the first chapter. It's like, now this king is like, call out to Yahweh. God Almighty. It's like, call out to God, mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said that he would do to them, and he did not do it. Pretty crazy. Jonah obeyed. He did what God told him to do. Whether how big or small he might have thought it was, is like some simple words. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's what God told him to go say to this group. He did it, and God did the impossible. God did a miracle. He saved 120,000 plus people that day, and they all repented of their sins, their evilness. It's like, again, it's that dichotomy of truth where it's like Jonah has the truth but doesn't want to tell anybody. Nineveh doesn't have the truth but doesn't have anybody to tell them. But once they told them, they understood that the Lord is good, that the Lord is who they should fear, and they feared him, and they just repented of their sins. And it was all because one person obeyed the Lord. All because Jonah obeyed and did what God asked him to do. And I wonder what God would want to do with us here today. There's probably, I don't know, I asked Ray last service how many people he thought this place holds. Holds about 1,100 people. It's not quite full, so probably like 900 people or so here. What would God do if all 900 of us did the things God was asking us to do? However small or big they may be. It could, again, just be stop drinking. Something you need to do for yourself. Get yourself right with God. Maybe it's something you need to go and do and forgive someone else. Who knows what it is? But what? Just imagine how great God can move if we all obeyed. Another example back to John chapter 11 I was talking about earlier to illustrate this a little more is, again, Lazarus. So Lazarus was sick. Jesus waited. And then he died. Then he went over there, kind of weird. But again, he did it for a purpose, to strengthen their faith, to glorify himself. And he comes to the tomb where Lazarus is buried. He tells Martha, says, Martha and the people there, says, roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. Martha says, but Lord, he's been dead 4 days, which is significant because 3 days, if they were dead, it's like the Jews believed that the spirit would hover around the body for 3 days. It's possible that they could come back to life. But after 3 days, there's no hope. It's gone. He's gone. So they're like, Lord, it's been 4 days. He's dead. He's gone. He's not coming back to life. You know? And then on top of that, she's like, Lord, it's been 4 days. He's probably rotten away a little bit. It's like, it's going to stink. It's like, and you think about this and put this in perspective, it's like many of us have lost loved ones. That would be as if Jesus told us, you know, I mean, knowing what we know about Jesus now, we probably, hopefully, would do what he says. But think about it. It's like digging up a loved one from the ground, like, hey, dig them up from the ground. Why would I do that? That's disrespectful. It's like, aren't you concerned for the family, what they think, what they feel, and how terrible this is just going to make them feel, just reopening that wound? But then Jesus says, didn't I tell you that you're going to see the glory of God? Didn't I tell you that you're going to see the glory of God? So next thing you know is they roll away the stone. That's what Jesus told them to do. It didn't make any sense at that time. It's like, Lord, why am I going to roll away the stone? My brother's dead. 4 days dead. He's not coming back. And we know this. That's what they thought. But then they were obedient. They roll away the stone. Then a miracle happens. Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. The impossible, the unthinkable. They didn't expect that at all. But when we're obedient to what the Lord calls us to do, he does the impossible. He does the impossible. With Jonah, he went to this country, this city, super wicked, super crazy. But what I note in there, it's like it's sometimes the people furthest from God are the first ones to come back to God. You know, it's like there's us who have been in the church all of our lives and stuff, yet like we don't have joy and salvation. We're not following God. But then someone who's never heard the truth, you know, never lived for God, never claimed to believe in God, they could get saved one day. Next thing you know, it's like they're like the first one to just start just producing fruit. It's like because they're thirsty. They want the truth. But when we obey, miracles happen. Jesus wants to use you and I here today. He wants to use us to give life to other people. Maybe not raise them. There we go. Sorry, I have trouble with words sometimes. But maybe not raise them from the dead, like literally, but you know, Jesus, he could. But Jesus wants to use you and I for sure to bring life to others spiritually, to those who are dead. It's like we need to roll away the stone. What is that in our lives? It's like we're holding on to bitterness. You're not talking to them because you're upset with them. Maybe that's the stone you need to roll away. Roll that stone away. See what Jesus happens, because next thing you know, you're shining bright for God. And they're like, man, I want that life. I want to live for God too. You know, but if we leave the stone there, we'll never see what God wants to do. We're not going to see what God wants us to do. And understand this, as a pastor, I got to tell you guys the truth, you know, and sometimes the truth hurts. But what God calls us to do, like Jonah, it's not always easy. It's not always easy. Sometimes it is very hard, very difficult, very uncomfortable. You know, Jonah's going to this city. He might die. He hates these people. We see that in chapter 4. We're not going to read that today. But he gets bitter about it. But God calls us to things that are uncomfortable. Like for me, when I came back to the Lord, it was an uncomfortable situation because I had to stop doing drugs, stop getting drunk, all these things, changed my lifestyle completely. And it was very uncomfortable because all I did all the time was just get drunk and high. Robert, I used to sit right in the back there. Robert would preach all the time and he would just be like, maybe last night you got drunk and high, you did this, the other thing, whatever. And I'm like, I did all of those. In that order, last night. Like, how did you know? You know, and I'm feeling convicted. I knew it was God just saying, like, Nick, like, you need to change. But it was very uncomfortable. It's not comfortable all the time when you're following God. It's not always easy. Yes, there will be times when it is easy. Like when Jonah went the first time to Israel. It was like, hey, God's going to prosper you. He's going to bring some expansion. Like, that's good stuff, man. And you see that happen. It's like, it's so exciting. But then there's those times when God calls us to something difficult and it's not so exciting, right? But there's purpose in it all. There's a purpose in it. And we got to trust him even though we don't understand everything. And to wrap things up today, I want to say this. There's three types of people that I notice in the world. Probably three types of people in here today. There's probably 900 people, so I would assume there are some. And the first type of person there's the people who have heard the word of God clearly, and they're doing what he said. They're obeying him. They're on fire for the Lord. You're doing it. And what I want to say to those of you who are on fire and that you are living for the Lord, and it's obvious, I just want to say keep it up. You're doing a good job. And Paul says in Galatians, he says, don't grow weary. Don't grow weary of doing good, for in due time you will reap a harvest. I know it's hard right now. Some of you, you know, you don't understand. You're like, Lord, this is so hard. I've been so loving to all these people who I feel like you've told me to be loving to, but nothing's happening. I just want to say, keep it up. Don't be discouraged. There will be a breakthrough at some point in time. It's like either, like, it's when we get to heaven and you realize what that went for. I mean, Jeremiah. You look at Jeremiah. He was preaching to Israel all his life, and no one ever repented. How crazy is that? But he did what God called him to do. So for those of you who are doing what God's called you to do, keep it up. You're doing good. You're making a difference, all right? There's a second type of people, though. They've heard the word of God clearly. They know the truth, but they're not obeying it. They're not obeying it. You're like Jonah. You know the truth. The word of the Lord has come to you. It's convicted you, told you what you need to do and how to do it, but you're running away. You're avoiding it. You're holding back. What I want to say to you guys, I want to encourage you. First, just look at your life. Look at your life. Look at who you're influencing around you, your friends who are following you, maybe siblings, family members who are just broken over the sin that's in your life, and it's just causing, wreaking havoc on everything else. Because again, the disobedience of one person affects many. So examine your life. Who are you impacting? It's like, wake up. You know, it's like if you know the truth, I just want to say stop running. Stop running away from God. Just confess that, hey, Lord, I've gone astray, but I realize now that I'm wrong. You're right, because that's how it always is. The Lord is always right, has the last say in everything. And I just want to say start following God for real. Start following God for real. You come in here every day, you put on this Christian face, oh, praise the Lord, God, but then you get out of here, and then you go do whatever you know you're not supposed to do. That was me. I'd sit back there. Robert would always pray that prayer. You know, I came to the 11:30 service because I wanted to sleep in because I was probably partying all night, getting drunk, had a hangover. Come in, get convicted, know I need to give my life to the Lord. And Robert would pray that prayer at the end. You guys know it, right? It's like then he says that part, though. There's that phrase where he says, "And I turn from my sins so that I can live for you." And I wouldn't pray that, though. It's like, "Lord, I believe that you died for my sins," you know, all these things. But I would skip that part because I'm like, I don't want to lie to the Lord. Because I know once I leave here, I'm going to go get high. I'm going to start running from God again. I'm going to put this wall back up. And what I want to say to you guys, if you're not obeying him, just tear that wall down. Stop running. What are you so afraid of? Pick up your cross and follow him. That's what Jesus calls us to do. And that doesn't sound good, though, does it? Pick up your cross and follow him. It's going to be hard, is what he's saying. It's going to be worth it. There's a true abundant life he wants to give you. And the third people group, it's people who have never heard the word of God. I don't know all of you. I don't know if you've been here before. If this is your first time, I want to say, hey, welcome to Calvary Tucson, and I hope you feel welcomed. I'm not here to judge, point fingers, or anything, but maybe you've never heard the word of God before. Maybe you've never heard him speak to you, but today you have. Today you have. He's bringing conviction, and he's speaking to you so powerfully, and you understand it. And what I want to say to you is, would you just confess to the Lord that I've gone astray? Repent of your sins. Say, Lord, I believe in you. And find that true abundant life in him. You know, that's what I want today. And no matter where you're at in those three categories, again, I'm not here to judge, but I just want to say that we all need to know this, that God wants to give us all an abundant life. An abundant life. When John 10, Jesus says that I came that you may have life, not just some mediocre life, not just getting by life, but I came to give you life and life abundantly. I came to give you life and life abundantly, and we need to understand that, but that does not mean, oh, he came to give me life with riches, and I'm going to be rich and have a bunch of money and be wealthy. That doesn't mean that he's going to give you fame. Doesn't mean that it's going to be a comfortable, smooth, easygoing life. But it is an abundant life because, check this out, it's a life with purpose. It's a life with purpose. And one thing that I know from my life firsthand is that there's nothing more satisfying in life than living for the reason you were created. There is nothing more satisfying than living for the reason you were created. Like Jonah was created to go to Nineveh at some point in his life. It's like that should be satisfying to him. It's like, man, 120,000 people repented because of my obedience. The Lord worked through me powerfully. It's like that is exciting. Might not be what we wish we were doing. Some of us wish we were, you know, I don't know, wealthy businessmen, rock stars, whatever. But what God calls us to do when we actually do it, that's what's going to fulfill us. That's what's going to satisfy us. And what I'm going to leave you guys with is Ephesians 3:21. It talks about how God wants to do more things bigger than we can think or ask, right? And I got to tell you guys that he wants to do big things through our little acts of obedience. It's, again, they rolled the stone away. Such a simple thing. But then he rose this dude from the dead. It's like, simple thing. Jonah just goes to Nineveh, speaks a few simple words, and the multitudes just repent. There's a revival, an outbreak of a revival. And I just need to tell you guys that God wants to do big things through you. Big things through you. What I tell my college group sometimes is, like, when we think big, we think, like, man, this would be really awesome. If I did this, if I got to this level of whatever, you know, and that's what we think is big. But then God kind of just leans in. He just says, think bigger. Think bigger. You know, it's like, what did Jonah think? He probably thought, well, I'm going to go say this word to these people. Who knows? They're probably not going to repent. And what he hoped would happen is that God would rain down and just destroy them. But it's like the unthinkable happened. It's like, think bigger, Jonah. I'm trying to save everybody. Is what I'm trying to do. And God wants to do big things through you guys. When you think that this is all that you can ever amount to, it's like God's like, I got so much more that you don't even understand. You can't even comprehend it. You can think as big as you want, and I still want to do bigger things. And who knows? Maybe he'll use some of us here to spark a revival in our nation. Because Lord knows we need it, right? It's like we need to be those faithful servants going out there, whatever God called us to do, however small it may seem, however big and scary it may seem, we need to go because there's lives at stake. God wants to use you. He wants to work through you. But like Jonah, we see there, we're not going to know if we don't go. You'll never know what God wants to do if you don't go and trust him. So what I want to do and leave you guys with today is just trust the Lord. Sometimes it's scary. It doesn't make sense. It's like, I don't know. It's God's ways are much higher than mine. But I know that he's good. I know that he's good and that he has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your guys' lives. And just, I hope you guys trust him, you know. It's like God wants to do big things through us. So, amen. Let's stand. Let's pray.